Christopher Lydon. I'm a talk show host in the States, and I'm very happy to open this conversation on Choice 102.3 FM in Ghana this week and next week from 9 to midnight. Maybe you and I will teach each other something new about radio talk. Where would you like to begin? I come from Boston, Massachusetts in the States, home of the American Revolution in 1775, home of the Kennedy family, home of the Boston Celtics and the Boston Marathon, home of Harvard University and MIT. I came to Ghana with men and women at the Harvard Law School who are part of the ICANN conference that's going on in Ghana this week. ICANN governs the internet, the electronic web of cyberspace, where so much banking and research and email and imagination and so much modern business lives. So I want to open our first conversation on the radio in Ghana on this matter of Ghana and the virtual world, Ghana and information and communication technology, Ghana in the electronic century, Ghana online. President Kufuor says he wants Ghana to be the IT, that is information technology, capital of West Africa. But let's remember, Ghana today has one telephone for every 100 Ghanaian people. It has a lot of catching up to do. How did Ghana fall behind, or did it? Who is fighting to bring telephones and internet capacity to Ghana today? And here's the big question. Will the internet magic bring power and prosperity to Africa in ways that the train and the car and the telephone and television did not? Join the conversation at 70 11 100 or 70 11 200. I'm Christopher Lydon. We call this program Wide World. Our guests this evening are Mark Davies, who runs Busy Internet, and Herman Chinnery Hess, who runs Soft, the software producers. I have used his software, and I've seen Mark's Busy Internet Cafe, and I'd like to start right there with that rather remarkable scene with about 100 computer terminals busy every minute of every day that I've been in there, day and night. We're looking at some sort of transformation here, Mark Davies. What is it?
It's an interesting question for us as we witness this tremendous sea of people emerging into the center every day and jostling. Actually, I had to this afternoon. There was almost a fight breaking out as someone was trying to claim the next free PC. I must say, it has shocked us and surprised us that we've been here in Ghana, and almost instantly the capacity, the amount of terminals available to Ghanaians, which seems to keep increasing. We've been tracking them from 40 cafes to 150 cafes to something like 250 cafes right now. Mm. That's more than there is in New York and London combined. So for us to understand it as a transformation, I think we're just trying to understand it. We're just beginning to understand what's going on. And
well, the first reason there are so many cafes is that there's so few computer terminals at home, right? I mean, we're talking about a shortage.
I think so. I think there's not much access at home. There's not much access within the schools. I mean, that's changing, but it's changing slowly. So public access is the phenomenon. But it is driven and it is demanded by the people on the streets.
It's what are they using that web for?
If you wander around and you look over their shoulders, you'll see most people using email. We've noticed at Busy Internet, because we have a relatively fast connection, they're sitting back and enjoying videos and streaming the latest Cisco video or Jennifer Lopez video, or they're looking at the latest fashion. People are sending messages to their families overseas. They're trying to find people outside of Ghana. They're trying to find opportunities overseas. They're trying to find business ideas. There is just a massive amount of activity going on in the center. at any time.
What does that hunger tell you? I mean, I notice also these are young people for them almost exclusively. I mean, they look, most people under 30, I'd say, a lot of them under 20. A lot of them are looking for work, but they're, they have taught themselves to type, obviously. Very able, very good spirit. Despite you say fight almost breaking out, I'm struck by how orderly and sweet and polite a place it is.
Mm. Well, there are a couple of questions there, but I think what people are using the center for, it's transforming the way in which we've understood how internet is used. To me, it's their opportunity to join an emerging global culture where they see things going on through media, through television, through film, and suddenly they have a window onto the world where they can participate in exactly the same way that any other person, whether they're calling in from Boston or from New York or Dar es Salaam. So I think it's an incredibly empowering medium. It was for me when I first got on, and I think it must equally be so here, and particularly where you have limited access to other forms of communication, for you simply to be able to communicate with a person that you might meet in Idaho is a remarkable phenomenon.
Herman Chinnery has, it's your software. What's the lure? What's the magic of it?
In terms of lure to busy internet, or
what is drawing people
to busy internet?
And Mark has said a lot of things, and some of them we've heard before about an empowering medium, a new culture.
I'm Ghanaian and I grew up in Ghana. Now, there are certain fundamental problems that the internet or internet access, if I put it that way, addresses. Now, in the context of Ghana, if you wanted information on whatever, you go to the libraries. They're not well enough kitted out. Now, suddenly you can go to busy internet and you've got the latest on everything. Basically, it kind of bridges the gap, and it basically puts Ghana in touch with the world. Fundamentally, as a Ghanaian, this is what it means. A lot of people use the internet for email, but I think more and more people are going to use it for studying, researching, etc., etc. When I went to school in America, I realized that the American kids, they said, go do a research project. We didn't have that concept in Ghana, because I suspect the research materials just weren't available, and the books were old, and the professors were not researching themselves, etc., etc., given the developing world constraints, etc., etc. But suddenly with the internet, it's a big leveler. We're on the same level. I mean, Mark can research something in 20 minutes. I can research something in 20 minutes. He's in Germany, I'm in Ghana. Same thing. So I think that, and the post office reported last week, I heard on the radio, that they had experienced a 15% drop in mail traffic.
I'm not surprised.
Exactly. Now,
I meant to say also, the crowd in busy internet, I would say, I'm sure you know exactly, but is both men and women.
Yes.
Significantly.
And poor and rich, which is quite significant. I think that's
young and old.
Yep.
It's amazing. Our architect was blown away when he had no idea. I mean, he had no expectation that this type of service would be drawing almost anybody from the city.
Yeah.
People were walking in chaliwattis and stuff, and he just had no clue that it would be such a popular draw. Mm-hmm.
Who has taught people to use that machinery, and who also has trained that staff so thoroughly in the way that the software works?
I think people have trained themselves to use the service. They've found friends that have dragged them in front of a PC. They've shown them what they can do. You really only need to show somebody for 5 minutes what's possible, and then they're on it, and they're running, and they're doing it. Where the original desire is coming from, where when we first moved here into our house in Laboni, the gardener, even without knowing what business we were in, the gardener, who's a terrific guy, Eric, came up to us and he said, he saw that we had a computer, and he said, can you set me up with email? And this sort of blew us away, because we hadn't preached, we hadn't sold the service, but it was like at all levels there's this desire to participate, to be online.
What does that forecast, do you think? I mean, what does that tell you about where Ghana's headed? What kind of morals do you learn from the whole spectacle?
I think in some ways it tells me a lot about where Ghana is coming from, you know, from a place where in many ways there's a lot of deprivation, where there are young people who simply cannot participate either financially or culturally. There's a lot going on here, but I mean, in terms of a global culture, there's this sort of increasing, you know, marginalization, as you see all of these stories of massive wealth in these popular movies and so forth. And there are people, I think, who are just feeling, you know, we're not seeing any of this, we're not participating in any of this. And I feel that we've suddenly got relatively cheap access to that world. And it's not perhaps in terms of the images or the materials, but in terms of just talking to people. I think that's important. I also think that there's a very large Ghanaian diaspora spread out all over the world, and that there's a social structure that's quite different here than there is where I come from, where family is much more important and much more involved, and their need to stay in contact and to stay involved is also a core driver, I think, of these communications.
That's a very interesting point. I want to come back to the sort of social psychology of this thing, because I think there's a great deal of American social psychology in the way this machinery works, but you're talking about an African quality too. Let me just say, I find this spectacle so exciting, I have to kind of slap myself sober. And remember that part of the reason you're so crowded is that there are, relatively speaking, in the population, there is so little technology. They all come to a few places. Having said that, it seems to me something like magic in transformation, in that it does have liberating, at least metaphorical, implications, and self-development, self-education. There's a human connection, as you say, built into all of it. I cross-examine myself and say, wait a second, is this just another imperial trick, another fancy machine coming down the pipe from the West? Does it give Africans control? Does it give Ghanaians a piece of the action?
There's a difference. It's not like your bog standard, run-of-the-mill, past technology. It's not.
I want to hear about that.
Fundamental differences. I'll give you an example. We can sit in Accra and watch Dallas all we want. It doesn't make us money. However, the internet is interactive. We can talk to it, and then we can send our stuff out on the internet also. If you took television and American movies, let's say, for a comparison, Hollywood makes the films, we buy, we consume. In the context of the internet, we're actually getting, potentially especially, the potential is massive for a lot of value to be gotten out of it. I'll tell you the funniest one I had. There's a company in the UK that does security. And what they do is they pay people in England to essentially watch TV cameras, and the TV cameras monitor high security areas, and they're supposed to press a panic button when if somebody walks across. I mean, one of my friends in the UK is working at bringing this to Ghana, so Ghanaians get paid, because they will get paid less, to sit behind these cameras over the net and hit the button and a message is sent over the net.
So they're sitting in Ghana watching
parking lots in the UK.
You know those cameras they have over the 7-Eleven cash tills, convenience stores in America, like everybody. And you don't even necessarily need a literate person. They just need to be trained in terms of, if you see such and such happen, then you click the green button. If you see such and such happen, click the yellow button. They are paying people in America right now, what would it be?
$50 an hour.
$20 an hour or whatever?
No, that would be a $7 job in the States, I think. But
okay, a $7 job. But I mean, if you're earning
$3 an hour here, you're a king.
Somebody told me that New York City parking tickets get read and processed in Ghana.
It is possible.
It's cheaper.
There's a company in Ghana that does I don't know if they're doing New York. I know they do. I think they do the doctors and the insurance companies. It's not impossible that they're also doing, you know, the New York parking.
No, there is a project in place and they're trying to set this up.
Yeah.
There is, you know, that there is this data processing company here in Ghana,
yeah,
which has 1,000 employees. And you know, I'm sure that they've got blistered fingers. I mean, they get paid in terms of how fast they enter data.
Piecemeal.
They essentially get forms sent down, images sent down that Americans have filled out with pens and paper. And these people transform that into digital information, like just typing it into a...
But now, isn't that using the internet, or using the new global technology to I won't say victimize Ghana, but certainly to exploit cheap labor.
I knew he was going to say that.
Wherever you can find it.
I knew he was going to say that. I'll tell you this, though. There are a number of angles on that. Firstly, a lot of Ghanaians leave Ghana and go and work in those bloody parking lots anyway. And they still manage to send so much money home at those rates that the
$7 job for a Ghanaian in New York probably is no better than a $3 job in Ghana.
No doubt.
So, is that your point?
So he does exactly. No, that's not exactly my point, though. I'm saying that the Ghanaians, and lots of Ghanaians in America, not all of them, a lot of Ghanaians in America are in $7 jobs anyway. We don't know how they do it, but I can't figure it out, but they send money home.
They have $3 $7 an hour jobs.
Basically. And they can have
They don't sleep.
Yeah, and they can have $3 $3 an hour jobs here, save themselves the plane ticket, and have a greater purchasing capacity. One.
I want to come back to the... Do you want to make another point?
I was going to say also that it's foreign exchange. You see what I mean? Our countries are suffering from being set up in the colonial setup, such that the best thing to do in Ghana is cocoa. Why? Because the British set up a whole cocoa industry, a gold industry, and so on and so, because that's what benefited them. The railways are all pointing to the harbor, etc., etc., etc. So a lot of the infrastructure that we have is not designed for participation in any efficient way on the global market. Then comes the whole computer technology thing. Suddenly, clean slate. We can participate any way we like. If we educate fantastic architects in Ghana, they can take Chinese government contracts and do them over the net and win the contracts internationally, because the internet doesn't know color, it doesn't know race, it doesn't know country of origin, it doesn't know, you see what I mean? Suddenly, that is the potential, but it has to be worked. If we sit and we don't exploit it, other countries and other peoples will take advantage of it and they'll leave us behind. We have to work on it. We have to train our people, encourage people, make the internet available. The good thing I find about busy internet as a Ghanaian is the kinds of people that I see there. These are people who would never have access to the kind of store of information that being on the internet makes available. And relatively, busy internet is not expensive. And that's a good thing too. After 12, I think it's half price.
Yeah.
And that's wonderful, because there are people who can't afford to come during the day. Mm. They come for the half price. It just opens a whole new world, and it is different.
Well, that's a brilliant answer to a question that I hadn't even asked yet. I made the railroad comparison. I mean, the use of European-designed railroads to serve an imperial interest,
exactly,
but not to serve Ghanaians or Africans at all.
Mm-hmm.
You could compare that with automobiles,
mm-hmm,
or with the telephone, or as you said, the television.
Yeah. One second. On the telephone example, I'll give you an example of a clear case of what I just described. It's cheaper to call London than to call Togo.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Because when it was set up, Togo was not on the agenda. London was. Till today. It's still a legacy.
I think this is the sort of imperial history that the internet has to defeat in a way.
Exactly.
We're talking about the internet in Ghana and Ghana on the web with Mark Davis of Busy Internet and his business partner, Herman Chinnery Hess of Soft, the software developers. Please join the conversation at 70 11 100 or 70 11 200. We call this program Wide World. I'm Christopher Lydon. I'm a talk show host in the States and on tour, so to speak, in Ghana, but we want to make a conversation that is both broadcast in Ghana and available also on the World Wide Web. We're talking about the web and the internet. What do you want it to do for you? And is it finally a blessing from European and American technology? Can it be made to work for Africa? Can it be made to work for Ghana? What do you want to do with it? Please join the conversation, 70 11 100 or 70 11 200. Let me just ask, how did Africa get behind in the internet, or is it significantly behind? Or is this a game in which you can sort of win from behind at any point?
Well, yes and no. I think that the fundamental problem was communication. With communication technology, the internet becomes more and more available. And we have an infrastructure deficit in terms of telephones per man. And I think that over time it is being sorted out. With all the new internet technologies, they're going to start bypassing telephone lines.
Go ahead.
They're going to start bypassing telephone lines such that telephone lines will no longer be an impediment. But
could I just ask, I mean, if I wanted to be argumentative, I'd just say that this is another old imperial technology in the sense that the same old people mm-hmm. had this privilege that had cars and railroad mm-hmm. tickets and telephones in the old days. I mean,
yes.
There is surely a digital divide inside Ghana mm-hmm. as there is between Ghana and the rest of the world. And how do you break that down?
Very simple. In the context of Ghana, if the government set up an enabling environment, there'll be more people like Mark making the internet more available to more people. Once you hit the internet, you're equal. When I left college, my classmates in America were going to work in a country with better infrastructure. We had to build a car, and they'll be more competitive because the roads to the harbors were better, electricity was more available, etc., etc., etc. When I came to Ghana, I would have the disadvantage of all these things not being available. With the internet, once you're behind a keyboard, you're fine. So the government should make keyboards available. Is the cheapest way.
We're going to talk again about what the government can do. Mm. We're talking about the internet mm. on Wide World with Mark Chinnery Hess and Mark Davis. Join the conversation at 70 11 100. Caller, welcome.
Hello. Hello.
Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Good evening. Hello. Good evening.
Good evening to
you. Can I contribute to the program, please? My name is Samuel.
Yes.
I just want to find out whether it would not be quite appropriate to have a very big network, like one software company in the country, instead of having a lot of them scattered all over.
Could you please repeat the question?
I just want to find out whether you wouldn't consider it quite appropriate to have only a few or one software development company, instead of having a lot of them scattered all over.
Okay, since I'm in software, I think I can answer that. I think it is, firstly, I don't think that there's only one software company in the country. I think there's more than Soft. We might be the biggest, but there's more than Soft. And I agree with you, it is appalling that there aren't more software operators, because what ends up happening is that Ghana is not known for software, because there are so few people in the market that we are having problems. We are growing outside Ghana now. We've got clients all over West Africa.
Okay.
And the problem we're having is that they don't know Ghana for software. So we have to talk a lot to get contracts. If there were 300 companies like ours, it would be a lot easier. When I go to Niger and I say I'm from Ghana, they'll say, hey, a computer. Mm-hmm. It'll make my life easier.
Okay.
So I agree with you completely. There should be more.
Yeah.
Many more.
Yeah.
Anything else? Mark?
Caller, anything else? Thank you. Hello, caller. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling us.
Thank you also for accepting us also to contribute.
Tell us your name.
Sorry?
Tell us your name.
My name is Abidu.
Welcome.
Yes. I just want to congratulate the service providers to bring internet and let it be very effective in Ghana. I think it's really helping to boost the Ghanaian economy. And especially busy internet. I just want to give a comment that their service is excellent. And what internet really can do, people get there overnight. You'd be surprised in that each and every moment the PCs are full. And what brings, I think, business back, entertainment is also part of it, fine, but what's quite unfortunate thing is once one will be there waiting to send urgent messages concerning businesses, you see somebody just entertaining. And I think we have to let the PCs be more and help we, the businessmen, to get our sex to internet all the time. And it's marvelous. I went to a friend's office and not using anybody's code, but he was able to just sit on his computer and just access to the internet, which he has not been paid to any internet service provider. I don't know how this is possible.
Mark, do you know how it's possible?
No, but I'd love it if he would share it with the rest of us. No, I do think it's probably. I do think it's probably, yes. Thank you so much for that, for those comments. I mean, I think we're only meeting. I think Busy is only really doing what Ghanaians want. You know, they want decent access. They want decent machines. They want an environment where they are welcomed and dealt with appropriately. I mean, there are too many, and I think this actually applies to many places in Ghana, where people that walk in the door into a store or an internet cafe are ignored or just not helped appropriately, and I think it's really showing in Busy Internet and also within the staff who enjoy that interaction and enjoy delivering that level of service. But you know, just to jump, sorry, to one of the points that you're making, which I think is relevant as to this whole popularity, is this exploitation? Is this a sort of a Western concept with machines that's being brought down? Humans love to communicate. We are communicators by nature, and we've been given the great gift of our generation, perhaps after the telephone, is that we've been given this most powerful tool to communicate. And we're witnessing this amongst the people that have, you know, the youngest of us, who have not learned any other ways. And this was not something that was designed by the economic hierarchy of America. This was an academic, well, no, actually, it was designed initially by the military, but then it was used by the academics, and then it was developed by the people of the United States. So when you talk about exploitation or a concept like that, it really boils down to the, from my perspective in the Ghanaian context, people want jobs, and they want employment, and they want to earn money. And what the internet offers, whether it's data processing, they don't care who's hiring them, to a certain extent, what the kind of work is that they want to do. But if they can take a pay packet home that is better than anything else, and many of them right now in Ghana don't have any pay packet at all, but if there is work coming into Ghana because the internet offers a mode of, sure, of transportation, of that information.
Mark Davis, stand by. The phone is 70 11 100 or 70 11 200. Caller, thank you for joining us. Hello, caller.
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening to you. Do you want to tell us your name?
The name is Fando.
Fando.
Yeah. I think the internet's a powerful tool. Unfortunately, from my observation, we're not making the best use of it. Maybe because of the lack of infrastructure, the slow access, and therefore having to make the best use of it has not been brought to us. So that you find that at the moment, most people are using it for more of email and also entertainment, which I find unfortunate, because that doesn't bring out the best advantage of the internet.
And let's not knock email or entertainment. I mean, they're okay too. But how would you crank it up?
Come again.
How would you improve it?
No, I'm saying that I would have wished that the service or the facility is more of providing information in terms of increase in knowledge. Unfortunately, what I'm saying is that we tend to use it more for entertainment. Okay, I mean, that's my observation, as I've into quite a number of internet cafes.
That's just a little bit puritanical, isn't it, to be saying that?
Pardon?
I actually agree with this. Of course, you know, all of us love to be entertained, and that is a source of entertainment. But I do believe that there's a huge opportunity here in Ghana. I agree with the caller.
Okay. If I may make my, the last one. So I think that what we are lacking at the moment is software developers and who will provide relevant content, because I think at the moment, if you want to find a hotel, some information of a hotel in Ghana, or for that matter Togo, I'm sure the information will be very sketchy. Whereas we wanted to find information on a hotel in London or the US, I'm sure we'll have the detailed information, the rate, the street number, etc., etc. Okay, so I think that's what we are lacking now, that now that we have a place like Busy Internet where the access is very good, then to get the best advantage, you should also have people like Hesse to develop the database, so that if you wanted information on his old school infancy, we could get all the information. I mean, I'm sure if we wanted to have some information on infancy, it would be missing. Whilst if we wanted that on Harvard or
it,
yeah.
But he's taking notes. He's going to work on all of this.
Yeah. So that's my contribution.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
you.
I just think the difficulty with content is paying for it. You know, if this caller wants you to create a database of content, mm-hmm. and this, you know, that's going to cost you money. How are you?
Maybe the hotel in Togo will create it.
Yeah, it's.
The phone is 70-11-100 or 70-11-200. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello, welcome.
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah, my name is Ato. Hello.
Yes, go on. Welcome.
By the internet, I think one of the biggest limitations to internet accessibility to Ghanaians, of course, is the phone line, but also the phone bills are a big disincentive.
Amen.
You know, you in America are fortunate that you sit down 24 hours a day on the internet and you don't pay a cent of phone bill. Is that right?
Well, if you do it in office time, sure.
No. What he means is that even at home in America, they have flat rates.
Yes, true.
Uh-huh. Whereas in Ghana,
you are not paying your phone bills by the minute.
Exactly.
In accessing the internet.
They have flat rates.
You know.
Fair enough. We do pay AOL monthly rates. Caller, would you turn your radio off so that we'll hear you more clearly?
Is it okay?
Yeah.
That's better.
Yeah. That's one of the problems we have here, you know, and instead of the technology helping to bridge the gap between the rich and the poor, mm-hmm. it is rather making us poorer in the sense that phone bills alone, you know, make it uncompetitive for us to even compete with Americans, you know, if there's anything by way of trading and other such things. For instance, if I want to use an airline agency tool to sell airline tickets in here, for instance, because of phone bill, it's not possible for me to do that and to compete, you know. So the internet is good, especially in the area of education and just informing yourself on the world. But when it comes to trade, international trade on the internet, which is one of the biggest benefits, I think we are completely cut off. Because you talk about things like credit cards to be able to purchase on the net, and we don't have that facility here. So I think that talking about the future of the internet, you know, and this is where Mr. Hesse and the government and other things need to put some brains into it, and our banks, you know, to make it possible for Ghanaians to have cards and other things to enable us sell and buy with on the internet.
It's a good point. It's an obvious place where government regulation should be tuned to people's interests. Okay. Herman.
Pardon me?
It's
Herman's turn.
I think it is in the light of this limitation of phone and phone bills, that's where this broadband radio wave technology. Yeah. I believe it's a big factor in Ghana. For instance, I know IDN, and I don't know, Mr. Hesse can inform me more on that. There are some other companies doing that, where you don't need the phone line to access the internet.
Yes.
And I feel this is a technology that the government must lay its hands on, so that quickly, you know, almost everybody in Ghana can access the internet. You know, and what if it is driven to communities, where communities, you know, get have this broadband radio wave installed for them, so that maybe about 100 people are paying the bill monthly. I understand it costs about $200 a month or something like that. You know, which cuts down drastically the phone bill factor. You know, if it is true. Hello.
I want to give Herman a chance to respond to your point.
Pardon me?
I want Herman to have a chance to respond.
How many what?
I want Herman to answer your point now. You listen to Herman.
Okay, I think that I'm going to try and address some of the things you've mentioned. I agree with you that the phone bills are a barrier for certain people, for the majority of people, I would say, to enter the internet world. The taxes on computers are also a barrier. The unavailability of telephone lines to most people in the country, that is an even bigger barrier. Now, remember, I kept mentioning that the government had to take certain steps to ensure that the internet reaches where it's supposed to reach. Otherwise, we'll end up with an elitist type setup once again. I think that you are right. I wouldn't call government intervention in this context regulation. That's dangerous. We found out from other industries that it can be dangerous here. What we'll say is that the government should give incentives. They should tell telephone companies that if they have a flat fee arrangement, then there's a tax incentive, things like that. We haven't seen very many moves on the part of the government yet. They have said that they want to make IT the vehicle for an engine of growth in this country. So I suspect that these are some of the things that they're going to be working on. But I agree with you. It needs to be cheaper, and it needs to be more ubiquitous and more available, especially to poor people. Otherwise, we're not going anywhere. Is there anything you want to add?
The only thing that I would add also to one of the comments that you made about international trade and the need for credit cards, I think the one thing the internet can help all of us become are educated consumers. In my case, buying 100 computers, I was able to go onto the computer and find out what the price for those computers that somebody that they were being sold for in America or that they were being sold for in England. And I think that when you go into a shop and you're looking at imported goods, you can kind of work out what is the cheapest price that somebody would be paying where they're manufactured, and then kind of work out perhaps what they would spend to bring them into the country. Mm-hmm. And I think with that kind of power you have, with that kind of information, you have much more power in negotiating deals. Mm-hmm. And that can be helpful.
At Choice 102.3, we call this program Wide World. I'm Christopher Lydon, talk show host in the States. We're talking about the internet. What do you want it to do for you, Ghana? Call us at 70 11 100 or 70 11 200 with Herman Chinnery Hess and Mark Davis. Did you want to say something, Herman?
Yeah, I was going to say, he mentioned, the last caller mentioned credit cards.
On the line, no problem.
The last caller mentioned credit cards. There are a number of organizations that I know about who are working on doing this. Apart from that, I've run an e-commerce business before, and I know that international organizations exist that can give credit card facilities even to Ghana. Plus, you can get credit cards that are semi-automatic, i.e. you get a list of the cards, you take it to your bank, they clear it, it takes a few days and they clear it. The local banks already do this. Barclays, I believe, will do this for you. So there are possibilities, but I agree with you, it needs improvement. But you can run an e-commerce business out of Ghana. That we've established, it can be done. We've done it before, twice.
Hello.
Hello, welcome, caller.
My name is Peter.
Peter, welcome.
I think I have a problem with, I think, the money that one has to pay to get connected to the net. I'm thinking of individuals for their houses also, because you look around and some of the charges I think that the service providers are giving are just too ridiculous, because coming to talk of $50 and those days, and you know, people advertise with $5 stuff, but you go in and then
all technicalities are brought in, because I'm thinking that assuming you have a fully multimedia PC, that sort of thing, and you're just connecting, then the service provider shouldn't be charging you so much for the installation and those things, but rather should spread some of the cost in that, because you're going to stay on using their service for a long time, and I'm thinking that they should maybe even probably wipe out some of these installation charges, and then just, you know, make the internet a bit more accessible, because when we're talking of cost, telephone costs are coming, and then installation charges, which for some of us, you know, installation is no big deal. So I think they're ripping us off a bit. And to add a little bit to, I think, what a previous caller asked, Ato, I was thinking that probably some of these other services, credit card and other facilities, are not around, because we do not have a proper national identification system. Now, people talking about maybe even giving numbers for hotels and those things is difficult. We don't have a country which is well, numbered. So some of these things become a problem. So I would like them to comment on probably the cheapest service providers we have in the system and what installing for maybe a personal use will cost a country as of now. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, caller.
Yeah, I mean, just to comment briefly about service provision and the cost, I don't know all of the dynamics, but I do know the cost of buying bandwidth, which is the biggest cost that any of these ISPs are confronted with. And it is extremely expensive. For us to get connected here in Africa, excuse me, the only way we can get connected is through satellites. And for a connection that I would perhaps pay for in New York of about $300, I may spend $6,000 here in Ghana.
Why is the difference?
I think you've got to put a satellite in space. You've got to send it up on the space shuttle or whatever it is. You've got to pay for all of that equipment, and probably there's not as much competition in that environment as there would be through cable that's going through the ground. Africa is not wired in that sense. You know, cable has arrived in Ghana. It's not fully operational yet. And we'll get there, but the whole, and this is why Herman was talking about calling Togo, you know, the way the whole thing has been structured does not assist bandwidth providers bringing bandwidth into the country. Mm-hmm. I know for a fact that all of these ISPs are not making, they are certainly not making a killing.
They're not.
By any means. In fact, some of them are struggling just to stay alive. Mm-hmm. So the sad fact of the matter is, as I understand it, is it's not that the ISPs are the villains in this. Mm-hmm. I think the villains is much more to do with the sort of the global communications infrastructure. If people really wanted to assist internet being delivered into Africa and reducing the cost of a $50 monthly charge, then you've got to reduce the cost of getting the bandwidth into the continent.
But I think there's a little bit that we can do on our side also. If as I said, if the government creates the enabling environment for providers to have it easier than they're having it, it will definitely, and then demand that they make it reflect in their charges, everybody will benefit.
What do you mean by making it easier for them?
I'll give you an example. I'm sure that if you brought in I'm sure the computers you use in busy internet were taxed.
Yes.
Did you pay VAT?
Yes, VAT.
You shouldn't have paid VAT. It should have been such that this stuff is going to educate 10 million children, so free. In fact, you should have been encouraged. Bring in computers. They're free. They should have a special terminal at the airport where you pass computer equipment. Now, other little things. Communication. If you're connected on some kind of wide area network using Ghana Telecom, the whole transaction between you and Ghana Telecom, if it is for internet, should be tax-free. So the Ghana Telecom should go around telling people, it should be more profitable for them to deal with the internet people than not to deal with them. It should go around with a special team trying to sell you know, connect with us. There's this special deal going because the government has made
We'll take one more caller before the news break. Caller, you're on the air.
Thank you. Welcome. My name is John.
Welcome, John.
Trying to find out, is it too ambitious from all that's going on? Is it too ambitious to think of a number of African countries, like countries in West Africa, looking at the throughput of, say, the cost of providing education to a mass of children and school children and that kind of thing, to say it costs X number of X thousand for millions of dollars or something like that to put up a satellite to be shared by all these countries? Is it too ambitious an Ethiopian project?
I don't think it is.
John, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I don't think it is. But I believe that there's a fiber network being put around Africa as we stand right now, which will wind up being cheaper than putting up, I don't know whether short-term or long-term, but satellites are notoriously expensive to operate, and they have a lifespan. I think they die after a while.
Mm. But there are plenty of satellites already up there, and there's exactly. fiber coming into it, and it's a matter of who controls those and the pricing that they're setting. I don't think to address those educational needs, you need to reinvent the whole infrastructure.
Could I go from the technological to the personal? I keep thinking, how many Marks, how many Hermans are there working this field in Ghana today? And I also I wish you'd tell the Choice 102.3 FM listeners a little bit of your own stories. How did you from Wales get to be doing this in Ghana, Mark? And Herman, how did you from
Ghana,
starting from Ghana through the United States, back to Ghana, get into this field yourself?
I'll go first, Mark.
The Mark story.
Sure, sure. I grew up in Britain and ended up working in the States and loved the United States and started one or two internet companies there. Just had always had an interest in Africa and had traveled through Africa at every opportunity. And in 98, I came backpacking down from Senegal using Trotros, and really all the way through Mali and Burkina Faso, and I just landed in Ghana and loved it. And then when I was considering, I was just struck in Ghana by the interest, the demand in of internet facilities and services, and I was struck in how poorly I thought that the services were, the speeds that people were getting. So just combining those two interests and coming back here.
Hello.
Just combining those two interests, coming back here and starting a company in Ghana, and receiving all of the support from the local community.
We have a caller on the line, but I want to hold the caller till after the hour, because I want Herman you to tell your own story.
Hello.
Caller, we'll come back to you after the break.
Hello.
Hello, caller.
Hello. Good evening.
Hello.
Hello.
I wish you'd call me back after 10 o'clock.
Okay.
Herman, tell us the Chinnery Hess story in a minute, and we'll take a break for the news.
Okay, very simple. I went to school in Ghana, secondary school in Ghana. I went to Fansipim, and then I went to university in America, and I always thought I'd want to live in Ghana because I enjoy living in Ghana.
A lot of Ghanaians never come back.
Oh, they're lost. Just joking. But I've always thought that the essence of an underdeveloped country is that development is required, and development means a lot of opportunity. So that why is a country underdeveloped? Because lots of things haven't been done. And that for me is a massive job opportunity. If you can structure what you're doing to meet the demands of the ups and downs, but essentially, I came back in 1990, worked in England for 2 years, went to university in America, but worked in England for 2 years. And then I hooked up with a classmate from a fan film called Joe Jackson, and we started soft from my bedroom. And we went step by step, employee by employee, and machine by machine, and we've had ups and downs. But over time we've grown. There are about 80-something workers now. And it's fantastic. We have a nice environment. I enjoy the work environment. Everybody's friendly. It's a very flat organization.
You'd do it again, but could you persuade other young Ghanaians that this is the place to stay and grow?
Well, I'm sure I could, especially with the advent of the internet.
We're talking about the internet with Mark Davis and Herman Chinnery Hess. We call this program Wide World on Choice 102.3 FM. We're going to take a short news break, and we'll be back with more guests and your calls, so please stay tuned.